Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Floyd, it is a special Jared and the GM on Monday Night Football.
I can always tell it's special when you have the music.
Does it not make it feel more special? As we are live out at Bar Lines here in the downtown Nashville Omni Hotel with coverage taking you up to 7 o'clock tonight for Monday Night Football. Floyd, would you like to talk some Monday Night Football as we're out here at Bar Lines?
Sure.
We got a lot to get to today. A very big show. We have carved out some time to discuss Butch Jones. But before we get right to the Monday Night Football talk, I do have to start with one very tough question for you.
Okay.
There was a report yesterday that the Cleveland Browns are reaching out to former football executives because I guess their baseball executives
are not
coming through. And my question is, have the Cleveland Browns called you?
No. No, they have not.
You promise me that. So you're not going to call me one day and say, hey, I'm going to Cleveland.
I'm
sorry,
fairly
I was hoodwinking you behind. Okay.
I think you're stuck with me.
Okay. Let's get to the game today. This coming from Adam Schefter about 46 minutes ago. Quote, all signs in place for Titans quarterback Marcus Mariota to play tonight. It looks like Marcus is a go against the Colts on Monday Night Football. We spent all week talking about how important, you know, it was, and we remember last week with Matt Castle. The Colts had the 30th ranked pass defense in the league. Your initial reaction to Adam Schefter's report that it looks like Marcus will play tonight against the Colts?
You know, I wouldn't be surprised at all. I think we all kind of expected that, and it looks like that's what's going to happen, barring something crazy happening in the warm-ups. I mean, it's going to be nice. You get your quarterback back, and you get the focus of your offense, and you get the face of the franchise, and you get all those good things on Monday night at home. Beautiful day. I mean, doesn't get much better than that.
Now, let's get to the game. And here is my first take to start the show. And we'll open up the phone line, 615-737-1025. Floyd, I think it's on Mike Mularkey to beat the Indianapolis Colts. I know players play and coaches coach. But when you take this job as general manager or as head coach of the Titans, you take it to win the games you're supposed to win. Indianapolis is not a good football team. And I know, I'm sure you'll come up with reasons why they're not a terrible team. I get it. But for the most part, they're not good. And it is Mike Mularkey's job to have these guys ready to play, to have them well coached, and to make sure that they just don't do anything stupid that will lose the game. Because stupid is what will get the Titans beat tonight if Marcus Mariota plays. If Marcus plays, there is no way the Titans don't win this game unless they do something stupid.
Did we watch any football yesterday?
I watched any football yesterday.
Did we happen to see the New York Giants play the Denver Broncos? The 0-5 New York Giants.
Yes.
And what happened?
The Giants spanked them.
Ah, did we happen to see the Chicago Bears play the Baltimore Ravens?
Well, the Ravens are terrible, too.
See, this is part of the problem. I mean, to you, there's nobody's any good. I mean, the truth is, they're all pretty good. And because of that, you can go out. I mean, crazy things can happen in any game. And I think the New York Giants, that was the best example you could ever see. You've got as good a defense, the number one pass defense, number one rush defense in the NFL versus an 0-5 team that has lost every receiver, has no running, has nothing. And all they did is go up and down the field, score points. Now, explain that to me.
Well, you're the football expert.
What did the coach do? What did the coach do?
Coached him better.
Coach didn't do it right.
I say this. Look, that's all well and good. And the other games around the league, I think, certainly plays into your theory that everybody in this league is basically 8-8, and the 10-6 teams just make a couple more plays.
Amen.
And the 6-10 teams just don't make a couple of more plays.
Did we see the Jets play New England?
Well, I'll use the Falcons yesterday as an example.
Great. Miami.
The Falcons.
The rotten Miami Dolphins.
They stink. The Falcons, though, last year when the Falcons were, what, 11-5 or whatever they were, that's a game that the Falcons win. That's the difference between this year's Falcons and last year's. But I don't care about any of that. We're talking about the Titans, And we're talking about today's game on Monday Night Football, and I stand by my claim. It is on Mike Mularkey to win this game. If it's not on Mike Mularkey, then when is it on Mike Mularkey? Because we're in the middle of essentially his third year coaching the team, but really his second year. And it's his second year coaching this team, and the Titans have had a lot of games against some crummy teams where they've gone out and not played very well. And every time, and I, too, am guilty of this, you go out there and you give Mularkey credit. Hey, they won 9 games last year. Great coaching from Mike Mularkey. They lost to Jacksonville. We didn't blame Mike for that. They've lost some games to bad teams where we haven't really pointed the finger in Mike's direction. This one tonight, and I'll add next week's game in there, but we'll get to next week. These two games, but especially tonight, it's on Mike. This is why you took the job. To get the Titans back to respectability, tonight is Monday Night Football against a team that is rotten. The only teams that they've beaten are a combined 0-6. Those are the only two teams the Colts have beaten. 0-6. I don't have it. Look, it might be one player who makes a stupid mistake. It might be one unit. It might be special teams makes a bunch of mistakes and they lose. Or defense makes a bunch of mistakes and they lose. I don't care. He's the head coach. And when you took the job as head coach of the Titans, it was to get the Titans back to respectability. Tonight is a big step in the right direction for the Titans to get back to respectability. And because of that, I'm putting this one on Mike, one way or the other. This is Mike Mularkey's ball game to win.
And I'm supposed to react to that.
Are you going to argue that it was not Mike's job?
If Marcus goes out and throws 3 interceptions, what did Mike have to do with that?
Didn't set him up for success.
If the defense trips and they let Hilton run by him 3 times because they fall, is that Mark doing that?
Either you are coaching it, or you are allowing it to happen.
And I am always a believer in the head coach gives the team direction. The head coach gets the team prepared. The head coach handles all the meetings, all the focus, all of those kinds of things, and game time decisions. But the head coach doesn't fumble the ball. The head coach doesn't miss tackles. The head coach doesn't, and consequently, I think when you look at a game and you see how it's lost, you have to decide. Now, is it because of poor preparation, or is it because the players aren't good enough? We're not good enough to cover T.Y. Hilton. So what are we going to do? Quit? No, you can't quit. You got to figure out, what is it you're going to try to do? But, do you have even Jackson? You think he can line up and cover Hilton all night long?
Adoree Jackson?
Yes.
No.
So if he can't cover him, we don't have anybody that can.
Got to have multiple people on him. Here's the problem with the Colts, though. Outside of Hilton and Marlon Mack, the backup running back.
Yeah.
They don't have any offensive players who just absolutely scare you.
The tight end caught 10 balls against us last year and beat us single-handedly.
Again, that's an indictment of the Titans.
Quality player. Doyle killed us last year.
And you know as well as I do, the guy throwing Doyle the football last year and throwing T.Y. Hilton the football last year is not the same guy who's throwing them the football today.
Right.
And that makes a big difference.
Right.
And you know as well as I do that this is a game the Titans as a team need to win. And when you are a head coach in the NFL, and you can come up with every little thing you want about, if they trip and fall, what are they going to do, Jared?
I think you hit it right on the head. The Titans as a team, need to win this. I couldn't agree more.
And who's responsible for the team?
He is part of the team.
He is the head football coach.
Yes, and he is, and thusly part of the team. As the trainers are part of the team, as the assistant coaches are part of the team, as the GM's part of the team. Everybody's part of the team.
I'm just going to throw it out there like this. I do believe in Mike Mularkey. I think Mike Mularkey is a good coach. Now, I'm not willing to say really good or great, but I think Mike is a good coach. And I've been on record since he was the interim head coach. And Kelly Holcomb, who played for him in Buffalo, said, Jared, he's a good coach. And I have been on record as saying I think he's a good coach the whole time, even when they weren't doing so hot last year. But I'm sick and tired of getting out there and defending Mike Mularkey and not looking like this local bobo you know, to say, hey, I think he's a good coach when you have games against Jacksonville and you lose. Or you have games like against the Dolphins last week where you lose. And I'm tired of those games. And this is a Monday night football game against the stinky Colts, who you've lost 11 in a row to. It's time to beat them. And it's time for the head coach to actually earn the praise that everybody in this town gives him.
How many backup quarterbacks played yesterday? Do you remember? Three. Three played, like our backup played last week. You know what happened to all three of those teams?
Cutler's technically a backup. Cutler won.
Yeah, I'm not counting. I'm saying Cutler's a starter.
Oh, okay. When it hits you, it's convenient that Cutler's a starter.
No, no. I mean, didn't he start? He started all year. I mean, that makes him a starter. Was he a starter at Chicago?
Guy got hurt.
Was he a starter at Denver? Yes.
Matt Cassel was a starter in Kansas City.
If he's played for, how long has he been in the league? 13 years?
Something like that.
He started, I'll say, every year. Every year.
All right, good to your point on the backups.
We saw backups come in at San Francisco. We saw backups come in at there were two others. Anyway, all the backups came in. They all lost. You know why?
Cleveland.
Because they're backups. That's why. Just like they were last week. Backups. And just like we wanted him to come out and light it up, guess what? All the other backups get in, and they don't light it up. Gee, what a surprise. And you lose. Gee, what a surprise. So, that takes care of last week for me.
What about Jacksonville last year?
Jacksonville last year. Oh, the second to last game? Mm-hmm. Jacksonville?
We put no blame on the coach.
Awful. And I put no blame on you can put that blame on everybody you want to. I have absolutely no blame. It's like the, not Miami, the week before. Put it on everybody when we play Houston. Put it on everybody you want to. Point them out. I don't care. Any name you want. Add them all. Put them on the list because they were all at fault. Every one of them.
I do just want to point out, though.
Yes.
Cutler is the backup in Miami because Miami's starting quarterback got hurt. So Cutler is the backup. And he just went and out-dueled the league MVP in Atlanta yesterday. Just a heads up.
Yeah.
615-737-1025.
You're saying Jay Cutler is a backup?
Well, their starting quarterback got hurt.
Is he Cutler?
And now he's Cutler playing backup? Because the starting quarterback got hurt.
I just want you to clarify this world. Tell the whole world that Cutler is a backup.
If Cutler's not a backup, then Colin Kaepernick's not a backup. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. And here's how I'm starting the show. This is the question. Is it on Mike Mularkey today for the Titans to beat the Colts on Monday Night Football? 615-737-1025, plus a stat that bodes well for the Titans. We'll get to that coming up next. We are live at Bar Lines inside the downtown Nashville Omni Hotel. Come on out and hang out with us before the game. We will be here until 7 o'clock tonight as NFL Football Sunday takes over at 5 o'clock. Come on out to Bar Lines inside the downtown Nashville Omni Hotel. He's the GM, Floyd Reese. I'm Jared Stillman. It's Sharon the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
What do you see in the Colts?
You know what? It's a whole new defense. You know, scheme-wise, they're doing a lot of the same stuff, but they got, I think, 9 new starters since the last time we've played them. So it's a lot of new faces, you know, but it's going to be a tough matchup. We'll go out there and we're ready for the challenge.
Marcus Mariota talking about the Colts defense Monday Night Football tonight. Adam Schefter, ESPN, saying all signs in place for Titans quarterback Marcus Mariota to play tonight. We'll get to the calls in just a second, live out at Bar Lines inside the downtown Nashville Omni Hotel. But, Floyd, I've got a stat for you.
Yes, sir.
That I feel makes me feel pretty good about Marcus Mariota versus the Colts. Indianapolis and their defense that Marcus was just talking about is ranked 30th in the league against the pass. 30th.
Okay.
Not very good. And if you look at some of the quarterbacks they've played, not a bunch of high – they haven't played any big boy table guys. They've played Jared Goff, Carson Palmer, DeShone Kizer, Russell Wilson, and Brian Hoyer, who has now lost his job. So one decent quarterback, two if you want to count Palmer. And I think Marcus has the opportunity tonight to tear up, if he does play like Schefter says, to tear up that 30th-ranked pass defense. Your thoughts on Marcus versus the Colts today?
Yeah, I mean, the Colts defense is all new. They're even moving some of the people around. Probably the best part of that defense is the secondary. They've got a young rookie safety who's, I think, leading the league in interceptions or second in the league in interceptions. He's very high, the Hooker kid. And if Vontae Davis is out there and playing, Vontae Davis is a legitimate corner. And so, you know, that I think they're a little bit better than that. Where are we rated on pass defense? We can't be. I mean, we're certainly not top 25.
For the Titans?
Yeah.
The Titans' pass defense is ranked 21st in the league.
Okay. So they're Jared and the GM are saying, well, they're ranked 21st in the league.
Well, 21st and 30th are two different things.
Right.
But here's the real kicker. The Titans have allowed the most passing touchdowns in the NFL with 12.
Well, that's even more important than where you're ranking. I mean,
it's
if you're giving up touchdowns,
to
yeah, that would be a concern.
But so, at least in this case, you're not playing Andrew Luck.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there is no doubt, regardless of what any of us say today or what you hear or what you think, the chances of winning this game skyrocket because Luck's not there.
Oh, yeah. I don't know who's arguing Luck, against that.
No, I don't. If Luck is playing, I mean, your chances of winning, you know, they drop by 50, 60%. So I think we have to be thrilled about that.
Let's go to your phones as we are live out at Bar Lines inside the downtown Nashville Omni Hotel. Come on out and join us. Adam is going to kick us off here on Jared and the GM on Monday Night Football. What's up, Adam?
All right, so I've never disagreed. And all the time, I listen to the show daily. I've never disagreed with Floyd to agree with Jared. This is the first day it's going to happen. So Mike Mularkey has to have this game in his hands tonight, Floyd. You can't say, I mean, Terry Robiskie, I'm not a fan of him. We let him do his fun thing with the exotic smash mouth, whatever you call it. I think exotic smash mouth is just a code word for we're going to occasionally hand the ball to Rishard Matthews, which that's what I'm learning right now, and I'm not excited about that. So we let you do what you want to do. We have the sorriest, worst team, which we always lose to these sorry, worst teams in the most important situations. We have to win this game. So I put it all on Mike. Every bit of it's on Mike tonight.
God, there is so much truth in that, Adam. Thank you for the call. There is so much truth to what he said about, like, if you're a real Titans fan, I'm telling you right now, you are prepared mentally to lose this football game tonight. Because this is a prototypical game the Titans are used to losing. I've probably seen the Titans lose this game in my lifetime 15 times.
Where they only won one out of 16.
But, you know, like some of those Colts teams were good. Like when the Titans in this Colts streak of, oh, my God, you know, one in 15 in their last 16. I mean, those teams had – some of them had Peyton Manning. Some of them had Andrew Luck, went to the AFC title game. I mean, some of those were good Colt teams. I'm talking about bad teams where you look at it and you say, that team flat out stinks and you should beat them. And they've got some guy that New England was going to cut as their starting quarterback, and there's no way, and then you lose. I have seen it. The Titans must lead the league in games where they're supposed to win like this and lose. And when Mike Mularkey was hired, he was hired to change things, and he was hired to bring the Titans back to a level of respectability, and today is that day. Don't be like the Titans of the past that have lost all these games where you sit back at the end of the day and you say, oh, my God, that Colt team was not very good. 30th in the league in pass defense, 30th in the league in total defense, 27th in the league in total offense. You shouldn't lose to that Colt team, and somehow, some way they do. If Mike Mularkey wants to be different than his predecessors, he needs to win games like this. And tonight, Monday night, against the Colts, we said coming into the year, they had to win division games. Here's your opportunity, Mike.
Well, I mean, I would agree. But my point before was this is the NFL. And in the NFL, anybody can beat anybody. Are the Raiders better than San Diego?
You mean Los Angeles?
Los Angeles?
I would think so, yes.
And what happened yesterday?
They lost.
Okay. Is Denver better than Giants? What happened yesterday? Is Baltimore better than Chicago? And what happened yesterday? I mean, the list goes on. It is a giant, long, distinguished list. Now, because we live here, we think we're the only ones being punished. But I can assure you, if you're an Oakland Raider fan today, and we'll ask Fitzy when he gets here, he's not real happy now. He's not. And they had their quarterback back. And what'd they score, 16 points? And I don't know where San Diego's defense ranks, but I'll guarantee you it's at or near the bottom.
Randy is up next on Jared and the GM, 615-737-1025. What's up, Randy?
I just wanted to make a comment. I normally almost always disagree with Jared. I almost always agree with Floyd. I'm a charter PSL member, so I guess you could call me a part of the faithful or part of the fools. I don't know which. But the bottom line is, it's not on Mike to win the ball game. Now, I will say that our line play, both O and D, are really, really, really common. It's not very good on either side of the ball. When their quarterback has all day to throw the ball, that makes it a little easier for their receivers to get open. And when our quarterback is running for his life, that makes it a little harder for our receivers to get open. And I don't believe it's on Mike. However, I am beginning to question a little bit Terry Rubisky, and also I'm questioning the position coaches. Along with the strength and conditioning staff.
Thank you for the call, Randy. Floyd, what do you think of that?
I mean, I am not trying to take any of the onus off the coaches. I mean, I coach long enough to know that if you're a coach, you're taking responsibility, whether it's your fault or not. That's the nature of the business. And that's why it's so frequent for guys to get fired. And that's why it's, you know, in the NFL or in the coaching business, being fired means nothing. You know, a lot of businesses, if you get fired,
you're devastated.
It's like a, you know, you've got a, it's marred your reputation forever, and it's going to be with you as like a scarlet letter forever. In the NFL, coaching, just every day. We got fired. I used to go home and tell my wife, hey, sell a house and burn the furniture. We're on our way. Because you're just going someplace.
And I'm not saying so, the Titans coaches should be fired
if they don't win. I know that. My point is that when you're dealing with as many issues as a coach deals with, it's hard to put it all on him, all on one guy. Now, I know it happens. I understand it happens, and I understand why. But I never, ever thought it was fair to just point to one guy and say, hey, you know, it's all your fault. It's like when the Detroit Lions went 0-16, and the guy that is the defensive coordinator at Dallas now, that a lot of people think is doing a fantastic job, was the head coach. He was the only one fired. One guy. That franchise went 0-16, and one guy gets fired. And I'm thinking to myself, that place is rotten from the bottom to the top, and yet one guy takes the hit.
I know what you mean, and that's ridiculous. Kind of like when Coughlin left in New York and they elevated the offensive coordinator
right. And
kept the defensive staff. I'm with you. I'm not saying Mike Mularkey should be fired if they don't win tonight. I'm not saying that something's not going to happen outside of Mike Mularkey's control. I don't think Mike coached a great game against the Dolphins, but I will say that Mike, I think, got screwed on two calls. The touchdown to Delanie Walker and then the touchdown and the fumble to Matt Cassel. And if those don't happen, the Titans probably win. So, but I'm just saying, you got hired to win games like this. Floyd, we're talking about Mike Mularkey, and guess who's called in?
Who?
Robert has called in. Robert is up next. What's up, Robert?
All I got to say is, we run the dang ball, we win. That's all you got to do, Mularkey. I mean, I know you're listening. Just please run the dang ball, we'll win. I can't deal with all this getting hot for a game, and then we freaking lose because we piss poor defense and offense because you choose to throw the ball 35,000 times in one game. Lord, I need you out there hitting him on the back of the head whenever he wants to throw it. Thank you, buddy.
Appreciate the call, Robert. I would agree that they need to run it today, but if Mike Mularkey is listening to the show right now, you know, what, 6 hours before kickoff, then we got problems. then it's something serious. 615-737-1025. Here's what we're going to do. We got a full show, Titans, Monday Night Football, but we're going to carve out 30 minutes to discuss Butch Jones. Because okay. We have to.
All right.
We got to talk about UT. That's next. Jared the GM live from Bar Lines inside the downtown Nashville Omni Hotel. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Roland Garantano out to the end zone. Broken up. No flag. South Carolina wins.
Well, they gave him a chance.
Chris Lamont had the coverage on the final play to break it up and win it. And a heartbreaker for Jared Garantano in his first career collegiate start as Tennessee quarterback.
You know, you got to give credit to the defensive line, to the field. They got up the field. They were not going to let him run the ball. The option was only there to throw it. And he just had too good a coverage.
Where does that leave the future of Butch Jones?
Well, it's going to be tough. You know, he's got a tough road trip next week to Alabama, and that, we all know what that does. And he's lost three in a row, three SEC games. People have really, really upset about what's going on, especially the 41-0 loss to Georgia. That's hard to swallow.
I think Tommy Tuberville on the ESPN broadcast summed it up pretty well about how things are in Knoxville. Vols lose. Jared and the GM live out at Bar Lines inside the downtown Nashville Omni Hotel. We heard what Tuberville said there, Floyd. We've talked about Butch Jones and his coaching status for what, 8 months now, 9 months?
Well, it seems like forever.
And it just seems like it's getting worse and worse. What is your initial take after the Vols game on Saturday as far as this coach and his status and everything you're seeing? And kind of approach it from a general manager standpoint. If you were the GM of UT football, how you would feel and how you would, you know, the things you're seeing with Butch Jones right now.
The difficult part is this, is that they can't, every time one of these losses comes about, and you certainly don't want to lose 49-0 or whatever, but if you lose by a point or you lose by 10, you still lose. And each one of these at points in time during his career, maybe weren't earth-shattering. You know, maybe they were just kind of, well, that's okay. We're going to come back next week and we're going to, well, now they're earth-shattering because everybody is looking at it. Everybody's expecting more. Everybody's hoping that they're going to pull themselves out of this hole. And we got Alabama next week. So we know, you know, we've got a good feeling for what's going to happen there. I mean, there's nobody happy anymore. I mean, I don't know that I've talked to a Vols fan that has been happy, or even if they won't back him, they won't say we need to fire him. It's just, well, I don't know. I don't want to talk about it. You know, let's go do that. And so I think there's an awful lot of apathy out there. You know, there are just a lot of people that
I think it's the exact opposite. I think everybody wants him gone.
Well, I haven't found there's a bunch that do want him gone. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But I'm talking about, you know, the people that I've dealt with that, you know, they're not necessarily the type that would jump up and say, yeah, fire him, get him out of here, even though they might be thinking it. But you don't hear him support him. You know, I mean, it's kind of like, yeah, you know, it's going to be tough. And kind of like what Coach just said, Tuberville, kind of along those same lines.
Well, and I think Galloway said it perfectly on the post game on ESPN afterwards. This is what Joey Galloway, because I think most people are like me. I think most people that are under the age of 40 are like me and say, he's a bad coach. He needs to go. It's over. It's done. It's whatever. But then I feel like the more experienced type are kind of like you, and this is what Joey Galloway said on ESPN.
The problem when you watch Tennessee is they're a talented football team. Like, you see talent, but you don't see them play like a talented football team. And so when you watch this team, and if you're a Tennessee fan and you know you got Alabama coming up next, you've already written that one off. You're like, it doesn't even make difference. Let's see who's after Alabama. And Tennessee is too talented to have that mindset. The 41-0 to Georgia, when you watch the film, you didn't say, man, this Tennessee team is awful. You just looked at them and said, they don't play good football. And so you look at your coach and say, what is the problem? I'll never say fire a guy, but I will say this team needs to get better.
I'll never say fire a guy, but they need to get better. I mean, that's kind of the...
And I think what he generally said is true. I mean, I don't... I don't see as much talent as people talk about talent on this team. And I know what the five stars and the four stars and how many we've had and the ranking in the country and all of those kinds of things.
But I'd say that you're a better evaluator of talent in football than any of those people ranking any of those
Yeah, players. I don't know about that. But I look at, it's like we were talking about the quarterbacks, you know. I can remember Butch saying, you know, you guys wait until you see this Dormandy kid. This guy is going to be, and we just recruited this Garantano kid, and he's going to be the, you know, number two quarterback in the country, or, you know, on and on and on. And then I look at South Carolina's quarterback that came out of high school as a senior, you know, just past it, and he's going up and down the field. And I look at Georgia's two freshman quarterbacks, they're just going up and down the field, and I look at all of these young quarterbacks that are playing really good, and I'm saying, why didn't we, you know, what happened with those guys? I mean, Dormandy and Garantano aren't even the same guys. You know, they're different guys. And yet we'd throw them up on a pedestal like, hey, you know, we have absolutely now, for the first time, I think Tennessee people are looking back at Dobbs and saying, man, he was really good. You know, he was really good. We underappreciated him. But I don't see the talent that we – you know, the Kelly kid, you love him as a running back, and they get down again inside the 10, you know, inside the 5, and he doesn't touch the ball. Best player on the football field. I'll bet there's been 10 or 12 times that I've seen games where they've gotten the ball inside the 10, and I don't know that he's gotten a snap. Maybe he has, but I don't remember it. And you would think down there, you know, if you're going to do something, let's go ahead and give it to the best player. I think that's probably a good idea. See if that works.
Do you think this is his last game on Saturday, Butch Jones?
I don't know how it could be, simply because you know what's going to happen. Are we going to be surprised what happened Saturday?
Nope.
Yeah, unless it's 99 to nothing. You know, then, but I mean, it's going to be.
It might be.
Yeah, it's going to be ugly and it's going to be hard. But we know that going in. So I don't think anything that happens too much will be a shock.
So that's where Floyd is on it. I have kind of a different take. I want to get to that coming up next. 615-737-1025. And now this is your opportunity. So get your Butch calls in right now. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Because selfishly, I am happy that they didn't fire him today, because we're going to talk Monday Night Football basically from the rest of the show on after this, but we still got to talk some Butch. But I have a whole different take with Butch, and I have where he really screwed up. Where he really screwed up, and where Vols fans have, like, this is very important for Vol fans to understand. I want to get to that coming up next. It's Jared and the GM. He's Floyd Reese. Jared Stillman live from Bar Lines inside the downtown Nashville Omni Hotel. We'll be here till 7 getting you ready for Monday Night Football, NFL Football Sunday starting at 5. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
You and I were talking moments ago, and you still follow college football, and obviously you bleed orange. How would you assess the current state of the Tennessee program?
Well, it's a lot better right now than it was a few hours ago, because we got the lead in the ball, you know. So, not the ball right now, but we got the lead. You know, we need to finish well. We've all had those kind of games when you're trying to build a program and for those kind of seasons. And we just need to get back on task here. We've won 9 games 2 years in a row, and it's not to say we can't do that again.
Philip Fulmer on the ESPN broadcast. Jared, the GM, live out at Bar Lines. Phil was trying, man.
Positive.
He was trying. I'll say this for Phil Fulmer. It almost felt like him answering that question, it felt like he lost his cue card for a second. And then someone said, hey, coach, here's the talking points again. Okay. We have 9 wins in a season. Back-to-back years. Florida, I think Saturday at Alabama is his last game. Butch Jones. And then he'll be fired. And I want people to understand this, because – I think Vol fans, you know, Floyd, you've known me for what, 3 years now?
Right.
I mean, I've been pretty hard on Butch Jones pretty much since the day you've met me. Fair?
Yeah, probably.
So I've never changed in my belief about Butch Jones, but the fans have. Because remember, they made the bowl game a couple years ago and the recruiting class and brick by brick, and they loved him. And this is the thing I want Vols fans to understand. Here's why your team is where you are. Because you didn't win anything last year. That's the whole crux of the issue. The Vols didn't win anything last year. Had they beaten Vanderbilt and gone to the Sugar Bowl, what's going on right now would be acceptable because at least you would be able to go back on, well, we went to the Sugar Bowl last year. Or if they had beaten South Carolina and Vandy and had gone to the SEC title game and then gone to the Sugar Bowl, you could say, well, we won the East, we went to the title game. We understand this is a rebuilding year. The problem is they didn't do that. So Vol fans came into this season not wanting it to be a rebuilding year when it is in fact a rebuilding year. Unless you're Alabama or Ohio State, you don't just lose Joshua Dobbs, Derek Barnett, Alvin Kamara, Jalen Reeves-Maben, Cam Sutton. You don't just lose those guys and not skip a beat. And that's what's happened to Tennessee. Had they won something last year, then I bet you he might have started Garantano this season to begin the year because we all would have known, hey, it's a rebuilding year. Freshman quarterback starts Garantano. I have a feeling that had Garantano been playing the whole season, they probably win on Saturday. But you can't throw Garantano out there against South Carolina and not expect him to look like a deer in the headlights. It's his first college start. And now you're putting him out there with the coach and with his tenure on the line here. So go back to 2 years ago when they lost to Oklahoma and Florida and should have had a 10-win season. Go back to last year when they lost to Vandy and they lost to South Carolina and they should have won the East and they should have gone to the Sugar Bowl and they should have had a 10-win season. Add that up, and that's why you are where you are today. You're upset about what you're seeing this season. I'm trying to say what you're seeing this season is natural. You're just more upset about it because you didn't win the past 2 years when you should have.
The thing, and that very well may be true. This is what I saw. I saw a 3/4-year period of taking the program from places it should never have been to trying to get it back to the point of respectability. Well, when you're doing that the whole time, you don't bill for 3 or 4 years for 1 year, and then it goes back down. Once it gets up and you're at a place like Tennessee, it needs to stay up, which means if you're winning 8 or 9 games and the program is solid, well, you're going to be expected to win 9 or 10 or 11, whatever it's going to be, because that's where Tennessee is. Tennessee is not one of these up-and-down programs. It's not, you know, well, we're going to win 10 this year, but we're only going to win 4 next year. You win 4 games at Tennessee, you're fired now. You know, you're done. So the part that got me the most was all of this talk and planning about wait until 16 or 17, and we spent all of that time and all of that effort, and we got the year you're talking about, didn't get where we needed to get, which was bad enough in itself. But then we're turning around saying, well, you know, we're not going to be as good next year. And I'm going, wait a minute. What do you mean we're not going to be as good next year? We just got to a point where we expected to be good. We expect to be at that level from now on under your tutelage. And if you can't do that, then we've got the wrong guy.
Well, I think that's what it all boils down to. Is why did they lose those games in 2015 and 2016 that stopped them from showing tangible progress? Why did they lose to Florida? Right. Why did they lose the other night to South Carolina? I mean, right. We know the answer. And that's, I think, where everybody's arrived to. Okay, time for Butch calls. 615-737-1025. Wendell has been waiting patiently. Thank you for calling, Wendell. And you go ahead.
Hey, I'm not going to talk about Butch Jones's past. I'm going to talk about his biggest problem in the future. And they're talking in the Knoxville News Sentinel about him having a contract that gives him a $3 million bonus if he gets fired in midseason. Well, the University of Tennessee is not going to take a $3 million hit that they could give to an incoming coach. So Butch Jones' biggest problem is that he is going to have to suffer with what he has created for the rest of the season, and then he will never coach FBS football again, because he will be under a microscope as he loses probably four out of the next six games.
Well, I think he'll coach, and I appreciate your call, Wendell. I think he'll coach in the FBS. I mean, the thing is, I think the buyout or the amount of money they owe Butch drops at the end of the season. It would be $8 million is what they would owe specifically for Butch. Now, when you factor in the assistance, it becomes more. But Darren Revelle tweeted, it's $8 million plus if they fired him yesterday. So, I mean, I'm sorry, Tennessee has $8 million bucks.
So is that $5 million bonus thing for real?
Well, I'm just telling you that it would be $8 million if they fire Butch. Just $8 million. Forget about bonuses. Forget the Vols would owe.
So it could be $13
million? Plus. No. $8 million. Forget about the bonus. I don't know the bonus or anything like that, but it's $8 million. So maybe it's $5 million if you wait till the end of the year or whatever, but it's $8 million if you fired him yesterday. That's what you owe him. Now, if you fire the assistants, I think it goes to like 11 or 12. But it's $8 million bucks to fire Butch Jones. You have $8 million. The University of Tennessee has $8
million. Which I can
dollars.
Understand, but I'm not paying $5 million bonus.
Wait
till the end of the year.
He said $3
million. Or $3 or whatever the number was.
To me, it doesn't matter.
I'll wait till the end of the season for $3 million. Talking about, what, 5 weeks?
Let's go to Bob, who's up next here on the show. What's up, Bob?
Jared, I hadn't heard anybody bring up the 2015 season like you did earlier. That's really what's killing him. They were better than Florida. And they blow that game down. They're double-digit lead, miss a field goal. They had a 17-0 lead on Oklahoma, a playoff team. They don't score again after the first quarter, if I remember right. But, Jared, they had a fourth-quarter lead on Alabama. So they were competitive with Alabama that year, couldn't get it done. If they win the East last year, they're going to go back and get slaughtered by Alabama again, and that would have been a downer. 2 years ago was what's killing him. They were really – that was their year, and they just didn't get it done in 2015.
Yeah, and I appreciate your call, Bob. Here's the thing. It all adds up for me. Like, oh, my God, they had Oklahoma, but. Oh, my God, they had Florida, but. Oh, my God, they had Alabama, but. Then the next year. Oh, my God, they had South Carolina, but. Oh, my God, they had Vandy, but. Oh, my God, this year they had Florida, but. Oh, they had South Carolina, but. I mean, it's criminal that South Carolina allowed that busted coverage, gave UT a chance to win the football game.
Well,
criminal.
The thing you don't know, and this is always, and I don't care who it is or what it is, you never, it's like Marcus. We're talking about Marcus Mariota now. But we've seen these, is he injury prone? You know, I'm not going to label him yet. But, I mean, if we get another one this year and then a couple next year, and then guess what? He's injury prone. Now, would I call him that now? No, I wouldn't. But, I mean, you have to get past all that. And with Butch, like you said, with those earlier games, the Oklahomas and the Floridas and whatever, when those happened, it was, you know what, in 2016 and 17, when we're a lot better, we're going to win those kind of games. And everybody's shaking their head going, yeah, he's probably right. When we get everybody, get rid of these young guys and they mature and now we're old enough, and, well, come to find out, that had nothing to do with it. You know, none of that young kid stuff, that wasn't the reason. The reason was we just weren't prepared, didn't execute, whatever the reason you want to add to it. But it's the same thing. You know, once it continues to happen and you start talking about it, you go, yep, you know, there's another reason that we're losing these games.
According to the Tennessean, $8.48 million if Butch were fired yesterday is what the university would owe him, $8.48 million. By the way, the Knoxville media, Butch Jones press conference today, first question was about second-half run defense. The Knoxville media is really bringing the heat down there, Floyd, I tell you. Second-half run defense, woo,
that
sign
sounds,
me up,
sounds
baby.
Like something I'd ask.
Well, what's great is I tweeted about it, and Joe Rexrode, you know, said, well, what would you ask? I want to be like, now, Joe, you weren't here during the Ken Whisenhunt Hunt days, but don't ask me about what I would ask coaches, because trust me, I would go there. 615-737-1025. We'll have way more Butch to get into tomorrow. Trevor Maddox will join us. But coming up next, we got to get back to Monday Night Football. Titans-Colts tonight. We're that way for the rest of the show, and here's the question. That Colts streak Floyd, how do they get over it? Next, Jerry and GM, live from Bar Lines, inside the downtown Nashville Omni Hotel at ESPN 102.5 The Game.